You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
We have, as I mentioned before, an expert coming in to talk about the government's recent decision to ban new prescriptions on puberty blockers. And we're going to be talking about the repercussions of that decision and what gender-affirming care in Aotearoa should look like for young trans folks. Joining me, we have Dr. Rona Carroll, who is on the Professional Association for Transgender Health Aotearoa. Good morning to you, Rona. How are we doing?
You're Zach. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. Are you coming to us from Pōneke, Wellington, the capital?
That's right. Yeah, I'm based in Wellington.
Nice. So you're right next to the hive of scum and villainy that is the Parliament.
Well, we might get into that.
do you enjoy living in the capital city at the moment?
Oh, I love Wellington. I'm a big fan. I think it's an awesome place to live. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Very happy here.
Cool. I'm glad to hear. I've had nothing but good times there. But let's talk about some things that aren't particularly great. The recent government decision to ban puberty blockers seems pretty backwards. In terms of a motive, do you think that this is connected to the culture war that the right has been waging for, you know, the past, like, 10-ish years at this point?
I do think this is really politically driven, and that kind of thing plays a big part in what's happened. A lot of that's sort of imported from overseas. You know, these medications have been safely used for decades, and this regulation only applies to their use in transgender young people. I don't think this is about the well-being of young people or the safety of medication. I think it's really politically driven. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the statements that New Zealand First, for example, have put out around this, it's pretty clear what's driving this.
Yes, definitely connected to Winston Peters' sort of innate transphobia around, separating not having trans people in certain toilets. The bathroom debate is kind of a foreign idea that he imported here, correct?
Yeah, just lots of horrible things, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a prelude to this recent ban on puberty blockers, in November last year, the Ministry of Health released a brief on the harms and efficacy of puberty blockers, and it took a bit of a middle-of-the-road approach, saying that Aotearoa needs to be cautious around its rules on these treatments, these medications. What do you make of the conclusions that they reached? How do you think they reached those conclusions?
Yeah, I think it might be helpful just to briefly explain what we're talking about when we're talking about puberty blockers, because not everyone might understand what they are. So they're a medication which temporarily pause the production of estrogen or testosterone in someone's body. So that means that the changes of puberty are paused. So they're reversible in that when they're stopped, puberty resumes as it would have done anyway. And they're only used in someone who's already started puberty and only, you know, with careful medical assessments and parental support. So the Ministry of Health undertook this review and, it didn't really find anything surprising. Of course, we know what the evidence is that's out there. That's all clinicians understand the evidence around what the area of medicine they're practicing. So it didn't find any evidence of harm to justify this, you know, ban. And actually the way that they described how these medications should be prescribed is actually already lines up with how we're providing that care anyway in Aotearoa. So they recommend that they should be prescribed by clinicians who have expertise in gender-affirming healthcare and who work as part of interdisciplinary teams. And that's already what we do. So, yeah, it was nothing too different.
Mm. I want to kind of zoom out for a second and look at the broader health system and how it interacts with young rainbow folk. Because in 2022, you co-authored a study analysing the perspectives of young rainbow people and their experiences with the healthcare system here. Some conclusions from that study include that the medical system needs to recognise the needs of rainbow youth when it comes to health, and that the healthcare system needs resources to challenge harmful stereotypes about gender and sexuality that inform how health providers operate. Have there been many positive developments in those areas since 2022?
I would say there have been. Like, it's not all a bad news story. I've been involved in a national workforce development program doing education for primary care around this area, and heaps of people have taken up the offers of training, lots of GP practices, lots of clinicians might recognize their gaps and want to do better for their patients and want to learn more. So I think the reality on the ground is that most health professionals are, learning more and really trying their best. I'm also involved in teaching medical students at the university here. And our future doctors are much more aware of Rainbow Health and inclusive healthcare. And so I think it's not perfect. We've got a way to go, but we're definitely going in the right direction, I'd say.
Well, it seems like the general trend is moving to a society that's more egalitarian and recognizes the needs of rainbow people versus this very artificial sort of manufactured hatred towards trans people. And it feels like, that inevitably we're going to win out against that kind of transphobia, hopefully.
I hope so. I think in reality it is a small, most people in New Zealand just respect everybody's right to be themselves, and, I don't have a big problem with this. But it's, as you kind of alluded to, it's tricky when some of that small minority views end up having a lot of power.
Speaking of small amounts of people, I want to know, it can't be that many people in Aotearoa on puberty blockers. Folks like Ben Shapiro, Charlie Kirk in the States always make it out that there's thousands and thousands and thousands of people in the States on puberty blockers. How many people in New Zealand are actually on these medications when it comes to youth?
Yeah, exactly. It is small numbers that we're talking about, which is, partly why this is kind of baffling, this obsession with the small group of people. You'd think the government would have more important matters to focus on. But in terms of numbers, we don't have exact numbers because the data that's collected about prescribing is just about the prescribing of the medication. And these medications are used for other purposes as well. So we don't have that breakdown of how many of them are being used for people with gender issues. But we do know that in 2023, the 12 to 17 year age group, there were about 125 new prescriptions for puberty blockers, but some of those might be for other reasons, but probably a chunk of them would be for this reversible pubertal suppression.
But we're talking about between 3 to 4 digits here. We're not talking about anything crazy.
I think there were around in total about 400 people actually on them in that 12 to 17 year age group. And like I say, they're not all for trans kids. So if you think about the whole population of young people, that's a really tiny percentage.
A percentage of a percentage of a percentage.
Exactly. It's for teensy, yeah.
Do you think that the message that this government is sending by enacting this ban is telling young people experiencing gender dysphoria that they aren't valid? Is that the messages that the government's sending?
Yeah, I mean, I think it does. It sends that message that their health needs and their feelings don't matter. I think it even goes further than that. It's feels like they're saying they don't exist. I really, really feel for these young people who it's impacting.
Well, it's definitely not going quietly, as three days ago, the Professional Association for Transgender Health Aotearoa, which you're a member of, filed an urgent legal injunction to prevent the ban coming into effect, which is happening December 19th. Now, I know you can't talk quite a lot about this case or this suit, but what has Partha heard from the Ministry of Health and its Minister Simeon Brown when you've made the criticisms that you've made of this decision?
We haven't spoken with them directly, since this has been announced. The specifics of the court case, I can't really comment on because it is before the court at the moment, but it definitely feels like the right thing to do to stand up for these young people who are being affected and maybe don't have that voice. We need to stand up against this. Mm-hmm. Well, so we'll see what happens.
Including your organisation, there's 12 organisations calling out this ban in Aotearoa, all medically related. We've got the Paediatric Society of New Zealand, the New Zealand Nurses Organisation, the Human Rights Commission, and Te Ora Māori Medical Practitioners. With so many qualified experts saying that this decision is not something that that is not good for young trans people and it's a backward step, surely it's not something that the government can just ignore.
Well, you would think so, but this government, you know, to my mind, has shown time and time again that they do ignore the evidence of experts and health professionals. So it's looking like another example of that. You know, yeah. So it's hard to have much hope.
Mm-hmm. I've heard. I want to, bring the korero to a more broader perspective of trans healthcare in Aotearoa. I've heard that getting access to that healthcare is very, very hard to access, especially if you live in a more rural region. How do we improve services in more provincial areas where healthcare providers probably don't have the resources and knowledge to address rainbow needs, and they might even have a bias against rainbow people, or at the very least a bias against trans people?
Yeah, look, that's true. I mean, there is this misconception that these medications are started really easily, or but the reality is that it can be very hard to access any gender affirming healthcare outside of probably Auckland and Wellington. So it doesn't even have to be a particularly tiny or rural place to have challenges in accessing this care. So how do we improve it? Yeah, I mean, there are some great resources out there. It's just sort of making sure that people know they exist. So, for example, PATHA just released its updated guidelines for gender-affirming healthcare in Aotearoa. They're an awesome document, which are available on the PATHA website. And they're also prescribing guidelines for primary care. But it's just sort of making sure that the people who need them know that these things exist. And that education that I mentioned earlier as well, a lot of that happens over Zoom, as well as going out to visit these different places in person. So, yeah, all of that helps. I think it would be good to have, a sort of champion in each region who could be a go-to person for doing education and support, answering questions for clinicians in each area. That would be a kind of goal, but we're not quite there yet.
Massive problem I've heard for trans people accessing healthcare here is, especially if they're young, they might lie to the medical system to access the care they need. They might not say that they have, anxiety or depression, or any other number of things which might be comorbid with gender dysphoria. And I guess this bleeds into a larger question of, how do we provide care for those people so that they don't have to lie?
Well, yeah, and a lot of this is, it comes down to the historical way that this care was provided as well. There's always been a lot of pathologization and things in the past, and people, trans people feeling that they had to prove they were really trans and that these assessments were about, and that they couldn't share any of their mental health difficulties in case that stopped them getting what they needed. And so there's certainly a little bit of that still, that fear still going on amongst the community. But we're definitely moving away from that, because the healthcare professionals on the whole, don't practice with that in mind. We recognize that being trans is just a normal part of human diversity. And of course, some trans people are going to have struggles with their mental health. A lot of that's because of minority stress and discrimination and that kind of thing. And so it's really about providing support for someone's mental health as well as their gender-affirming healthcare. And those two things can go alongside. One doesn't prevent the other. So certainly all the new guidelines, speak to that kind of approach. But a lot of that, we need to develop, create trust and those kind of relationships, patient-centered care and those kind of relationships, so that the patients can trust that they can be open and honest about their needs without feeling like it's going to stop them getting their healthcare. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Do you think that due to, as you mentioned before, there's a sort of entrenched systemic bias against trans people for a long time in, you could say Western society, in Aotearoa in particular. Do you think that we're always going to have to navigate mores when providing care to trans people, just because society doesn't value them in a lot of ways? Like, Yeah, I imagine. I mean, I don't really know where my question's going, to be honest. But I imagine, yeah. I imagine we're always going to have very uncomfortable situations because with, you know, trans youth, a lot of the right wing argument seems to be focused on, well, it's the parental rights to decide the course of action. So how do we sort of navigate dealing with these forces that are kind of out of our control and are trying to determine the fate of trans people when they just want to be themselves?
Exactly. I think it's just, I think that that gradual kind of societal shift in understanding and attitudes and knowledge is needed, and it does take time, but and it is slowly changing. I mean, we've seen similar things when we look to our history, you know, in the past around sort of gay rights, and we look at that now with shame, and I think we will be at a place in the future where we look back on this, you know, on this period and think, gosh, look at the way trans people were treated so differently. So I think, I don't know what the question, how to answer the question, but more education, more knowledge, meeting trans people, realizing that we're just talking about people just like, you know, like anybody else. And there's nothing to be scared of. And we all deserve respect and kindness and compassion.
Amen to that. Before we conclude this corridor, your organisation, PATHA, as I've mentioned before, its goal is to change our medical system into one where all transgender people have full access to appropriate healthcare, and that all healthcare providers have access to information and resources which enable them to provide appropriate healthcare. Say we get a change of government at the next election, how far away do you think we are from this being a reality?
Yeah, well, exactly. It depends on what's happening with this puberty blocker ban, because at the moment that's taken us very far backwards. And so when that comes into effect, there will not be full access to appropriate healthcare. But certainly the other parties, it depends what happens in the next election. These other parties have, some of them have committed to reversing this ban if they get back into power. I think we are moving in the right direction, even though these challenges kind of happen along the way. And if you look back 5 years ago, even, you know, we've come a long way. So, yeah, I'm not sure how long it will be, but we'll keep moving forward in the right direction, and mm-hmm. we'll get there.
Mm-hmm. The arrow of history seems to be in our favor, so to speak.
Hopefully,
yeah, indeed. Well, thank you very much for coming on the program, Rona. I really appreciate your time. Do you have any final words, thoughts, considerations for our lovely listeners out there?
No, I would just say that, you know, there is a lot of misunderstanding and misinformation out there about this stuff. So I guess when you're looking at things, just look at it critically and talk to people who maybe know what they're talking about, or maybe someone who's experienced this themselves, rather than believing everything you read.
Mm-hmm. Completely agree there. Thank you so much, Rona. I hope you have an awesome day, and all the best for the injunction.
Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Take care. All right, folks, that was Dr. Rona Carroll. We're talking to her about the government's recent decision to ban puberty blockers here in Aotearoa and the ramifications of that. Coming up at 9...
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.